Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
And now we're continuing our coverage in the build-up to this year's House of Keys general election with the first of two 2016 election candidate interviews. First up is 58-year-old Stephen Crowther, who will be standing in the new constituency of Arbury, Castletown and Maloo. Good afternoon, Stephen. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu.
First of all, just tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, absolutely. We came to the Isle of Man. My family came over in 1973. My father was the GP. He developed the Southern Group practice over many years, very committed to his, you know, that project. My mother, we lost him unfortunately just before that came to fruition. My mother worked very hard on the hospice. She was one of the founding members, so, you know, which obviously she achieved him world honour. So that was the start of the family career on the Isle of Man. We grew up in Ballacallo, up Glen Road in Colby. I went to study in Manchester, qualified as an architect after following Castle Rushen, and studied in Manchester for quite a period, had some good companies to work with, but I went to work with a company called AMEC PLC in the UK.
Huge corporation.
A huge corporation, yeah. And I just had a lucky break, really. It was a time that they introduced the computer-aided design.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought together the commercial department, very much a design and build. A little bit uncomfortable for an architect, but that's the great benefit, really. I've been out of my comfort zone a few times, but the benefit is it then took me away to Hong Kong to work on the new airport.
The one where they actually built an island to put the
absolutely
the
correct.
Runway on?
That's yeah. correct, yeah. It was quite
huge
a
huge civil engineering job,
absolutely.
Wasn't it?
It took nearly one-third of the world's dredges, so... it was an enormous scheme, but there's a lot of things that I learned from that scheme. I'd already, you know, learned a lot in my career, but that really brought a lot of skills to bear, which I still carry to this day, you know.
And I guess that you weren't lead architect on that, you were one of the team.
No, absolutely, absolutely not, no. There was 200, but the benefit of joining with AMEC and travelling with them is I was able to work on one of the large subcontract packages, so... a lot of skills in government, back of house, and particularly about the coordination. That's what I'll come on to later, about communication and this centre of excellence that I want to talk about on the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Have you had much interest in politics over the years? Have you been involved with commissioners or any local sort of groups and things in your area?
Well, actually, one of the reasons that I'm standing is that Richard Ronan isn't standing. I've seen his passion for the constituency. I really just want to amalgamate those skills that I have as an architect, which I think very much run parallel to, you know, its project management, its dealing with control budgets. I'd say about AMEC, the opportunity was to balance and really look at the flexibility of making budgets work. So,
well, yeah, let me just pull you up on that,
yeah,
because I'm not convinced that you're right, actually.
Right,
you know,
okay.
If you're looking at an architectural brief and you're looking at building things and you're project managing within a budget and all the rest of it, you know, that's very hands-on, but yeah. it's all fairly practical. Isn't the art of politics a lot more Machiavellian than that? And isn't it a lot more about getting people on your side or explaining to people who aren't on your side why they're wrong thinking? You know, isn't there an awful lot more to politics?
Yeah. No, you've hit a key question there, Stu. I think the point that I'm making about the diversity of my career is that it wasn't just about design and building. It was very much about coordinating stakeholders and the project, you know, particularly when I went to work in Thailand. A lot of politics involved in that, as you
I'm
can
sure.
imagine.
Yeah.
You know, the underground railway and other aspects of transport infrastructure. You know, it's not just about just balancing a figure. It's very much about making sure that you can work with people and being a team leader in those players. And it's really the ability to scrutinise the detail. I think that's one thing that I want to come to that I think is probably missing from government a little bit at the moment. Doing very well, but just how we can, you know, focus the communication and review process.
Well, we're talking about your career, massive projects, no two ways about
the things
that you've been involved in, and very impressive as well. But won't you find it a little bit irritating to be involved in people who are moaning to you about the fact that somebody's not cut the hedges or that there's a pothole out in the road? You know, how do you get the balance between local issues and national issues?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Stuart, I really appreciate the point, but I do think we forget sometimes that the Isle of Man has a very much more international stage now. So that's very important. All that Asian knowledge is important. But you're quite right. I've been back on the island for 10 years, since 2003, and I came back here to bring my daughter back. You know, as I said, growing up in Colby, and it was a great experience. I wanted her to come back here. So, but I've worked with my practice to really develop, you know, local schemes. Now, you'd think that that wouldn't balance, but I've taken the knowledge that I've acquired away back to the island, and I've got a lot of respect with local engineers and other architects. And those are the skills that I think I want to apply. You know, local projects that small and large, some commercial. I worked on the Ellen Vanning Gym a few years ago to just get it done in time for the student games. That's the sort of, you know, involvement and pressure to deal with those large...
You know. What will you do with your architectural practice if you're elected as an MHK?
Yeah, absolutely fair question. I think what's important to understand is that I work as a solo practice. I've kept it like that. I'm just at a stage where I could grow it into perhaps employing one or two people. But that gives me the flexibility to, you know, scale that down. Obviously, I want to keep qualified. That's the major asset that I'm offering government. And that's the important part, really, just offering that flexibility to make sure I can step that down to a level, you know, whether it comes to ministerial or others, that it'll have to scale down further. Keep qualified. I need the CPD, the Continuing Professional Development, and, you know.
So you'd keep that running alongside your
political
duties?
Yeah, very much
in
the background if required. Depends on the scale of what's needed.
But okay.
That's the major element that I'm offering, obviously.
Perhaps not surprisingly, because you're an architect, but you talk about housing. Is that a real issue, and is it a real issue in this new constituency that you're looking to represent?
Well, there's a review being undertaken, and it's been identified, and the mainstay of my policy is how to develop the major asset we have in the airport. Just don't think we've really got the value out of that over the years. And I appreciate there's been a few strategies to deal with it. What I'm talking about is a much clearer defined long-term vision. This is why I mentioned about the development corridor. So coming back to the housing, I think the really important factor on a number of issues on the financial front at the moment, we're in a good position, but we won't be if we don't expand the economy. So expanding the economy means that it's no use expanding if we don't have all the other bits to run with it. And housing is a key area for sure around Castletown. We need a good mix. The sort of areas and sustainable business that we're looking at is those high-end skills, because they bring a lot of the other areas behind them, you know, the sort of catering and plumbers and electricians and cleaning staff. And that's how we want to evolve the economy in and around Castletown and Ballasalla.
All right. Building houses for people who've got, you know, high-end skills isn't too difficult because they've assumedly got plenty of money to buy a house. The people in the support industries, the caterers and the cleaners and people, haven't. Now, do you see that as a problem for the Isle of Man at the moment, the lack of affordable housing?
There is a challenge. And obviously, one of the key problems we've got at the moment, Stu, is the drop in property prices. So and these are important issues to consider. But I do think that if we use the right strategies to get the economic growth, then I think that the developers, you know, we've seen some developments happening at the moment, you're quite right, in the upper range. And we do have this 25% rule, you know, for affordable homes. I think it's just identifying the sites and mixing that rule. Castletown does have quite a potential to develop, but what I want to say to the constituents is that it's really important that whoever's looking over that with the scrutiny makes sure that they're set out and balanced well. they're in the right areas. That's the key factor to me.
It's not a simple equation either, is it? I mean, you know, I'm sitting here and thinking what we ought to do is to build 1,000 starter homes for people so that people can get on the housing ladder.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were to suggest that, then all the NIMBYs would come out and say, hang on a minute, I've got, you know, 300,000 quid invested in this house. I don't want somebody moving next door for 100,000 quid or whatever. So how do you balance those sort of requirements from people?
Well, I think I want to come back to that, Stu, but just to look at the needs at the moment, because I know the Chambers, for instance, I know the people have different views, but we're looking at this centre of excellence for business. Now, to achieve that, we need a lot of high-skilled, immigration. And I want to talk about partnering, if I can get a chance, about how we make sure that all those skills transfer to Indigenous as well, not just leaving people behind. So that balance of housing is what's critical. You know, making sure that we have the vision to put together the right mix. You're quite right. If you just say, I want 1,000 homes in one place, you're absolutely right. It's not going to happen. But if we can see the growth, a long-term strategic vision for this new constituency, then I think that developers will begin to talk with us and look at how we can get that balance. You're absolutely right. There is a need. And, you know, that's been shown by one or two areas of apartments being taken up, but it's looking across the range to get the right balance. That's for me is the most important aspect.
The government, the next government, is going to have some serious sort of challenges and issues to deal with.
Mm.
It can either make more money or it can save some money.
Yeah.
Which route are you in favour of?
Absolutely, definitely. You know, the vision that I have is that the infrastructure, I think, look, the current government has actually achieved quite a lot, and I don't think that's probably been realised across the board. It hasn't been put over very well. Not to move away from the question, but there are departments at the moment that have done very well, and I've listened to one or two interviews, and that hasn't been put across. You know, look at planning. They do have some challenges, but we're aware in the industry that they've improved enormously over the last 12 months. People really don't realise they've moved on radically. Lots more to do, but that's a sort of example. Some other departments haven't. You know, there are one or two other challenges, perhaps highways and things we need to look at about being business friendly. So, you know, we do need to help that government sort of, you know, in its approach to reviewing. But what we don't want to do is, for me, is just push and push till there's just one cleaner left in Tynwald and we're all throwing buns at one person. You know, we've got to sort of look at how we can make sure that this growth is in the right area. And I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs and business people who do understand that this ICT and other areas, you know, we've just signed this memorandum of understanding with I think it's Guangsun Industrial Park in Beijing. These are the kind of, you know, people are looking to the island as to where to go, and I think the airport's got that potential to offer something. Once we see that growth and potential, then these issues with regard to pension reform and other areas we can have sensible dialogue. At the moment, there's just a real fear factor as to where some of those are going to go. That's, you know, you can see that breakdown of the problem. There's a long-term problem and a near-term, you know, looking at the fear factor and how we can address those issues for people.
Well, some people think that we've got 4 or 5 years before we're effectively bankrupt, so
absolutely,
that's pretty short-term.
I've heard that, Stu, and that, look, the talk is not, you know, I realise the scale of the problem, but the strategy is not just to present the scale of the problem, but the solution. And if we can look at the right, there's a lot of good growth out there at the moment. What we've got to do, to put an analogy on it, is we've got to put it on steroids. We've really got to make the most of it. And that's the imagination to make that work.
But let's presume that the Department of Economic Development is doing a reasonably good job, and that's what they've been doing for the last 5 years, that they've been going out trying to get people to invest in the Isle of Man, that they've got contacts over the world. And you know, where we are is where we are, despite all their best efforts. What makes you think, as a potentially incoming MHK, that you can do anything different or anything better?
Absolutely. If we look at DED, they've got this development fund, 50 million, and I've heard people say they're going to write 30 million off, etc. The key, really, is looking at what we're looking, you know, the needs, And the Chambers of Commerce have identified a few areas of that. You know, not right about everything, I'm sure, but they have got their finger on the pulse, and I think we need to look at the sort of things they're talking about. The Centre of Excellence is key. And to do that, it's very much about looking at your focus as to what businesses you want. And there are one or two entrepreneurial people at the moment who I know have said that they're, you know, perhaps disillusioned. There's been one or two businesses that have left. I could talk about our constituency specifically. But the important thing is to give the reassurance. And the real key for me, and I've seen this in Thailand, I've seen it in other countries, is having that longer strategic vision.
All right.
People
well,
see
let's investigate this thought then. Some sort of a centre of excellence, so Ronald's Way Enterprise Park, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
What sort of industry would it be a centre of excellence of?
Yeah. If we you mentioned one word there, Ronald's Way, whatever, you know, a zone or a park. Yeah. And there's a lot of names given, and they can, you know, I understand that sometimes people can think they're a bit flippant, but. What I've just talked about is, and words are a key factor to, you know, how you feel about the growth, the start of something. For me, I want to talk about a development corridor, and the reason for that is I want to put the whole thing together in and around the airport. Now, if I talk
a development corridor from where to where?
Absolutely. So if we talk about, if we look at Balasol at the moment, if I say to you, I want a bypass and some housing.
Yeah.
Doesn't leap off the page at you, does it? It's not really exciting to attract government's investment at the moment with the challenges. But if we talk about the fact that, you know, Balasala is a gateway to the south, we're going to put that development right the way through, and we understand that on a corridor, I've seen this before in other countries, we talk about the frontage, that people know what they're going to get along that line. And you work backwards from there, but at least if you've got investors from China or other countries wanting to put their ICT, which has identified as a real potential growth area, you know, 3D graphics, animation, all the other things that we're getting much better at. If you become attractive, you've only got to have a start of some development, and then people realise the potential. And that does, you know, we want to bring in a bit more leisure and other areas, but they're not going to come unless we've got a strong vision.
All right, so we've got this centre of excellence then, this development corridor, say.
Yeah, sure.
What is going to attract people? Say, I mean, you're talking about, you know, computer graphics and things like that.
Yeah, sure.
What's going to bring somebody from Wardour Street in London, which is a centre of excellence for graphics like that, to a place, you know, in the middle of the Irish Sea? Is it our low tax? Is that the only thing?
Well, we're already attracting business, Stu. It's already coming to the island. You know, look at Microgaming and other companies. They started from nothing. They've really expanded. You know, you ask why they're all in Douglas. We're not making the most in our constituency from this airport asset. You know, if I take that asset and put it anywhere in the UK, it would have a lot more going on around it. We just need to put this into a vision of how that area works. You see, the important thing is if you offer a framework with planning, and this is bringing the local stakeholders together, they, you know, people work cooperatively. I don't think this has happened, you know, previously with the current arrangement with the constituencies. Then putting together local authorities so that we all work together. Who owns the main road? The Department of Infrastructure at the moment. Just pulling people together so that they all work off one hymn sheet.
All right. You want to see more green technology and construction use. Is that realistic, or do we run the risk of being early adopters and paying a huge premium for that?
Yeah. I think there's a whole area. I did mention about governance in, you know, scrutinising legislation, and I would include that in the same process. Obviously, it goes without saying, in my field, I really have my hands on. In fact, I'm working on an eco house at the moment. So, absolutely.
You're preaching, you know, to the choir. I think it's the future, that kind of thing. But
absolutely.
But
very conscious. In fact, obviously, I'm going right down to the details here. I could talk about U values and how we put things together. You're absolutely right. It mustn't hinder business. But we've got a lot of technology out there at the moment that makes sure for renovation. I think that's what's been identified. I've got to go through it in more detail. I'm not in government. But there is a lot of technology out there that helps people refurbish and upgrade. And it has been identified that if we're not careful, we've got a lot of new homes. If you want to build them around Castletown, we'll leave the whole centre of it with problem buildings. So we've got to work things together. I think that's the strategy behind that thinking.
Okay.
Something for everybody, Stu.
You want a broader diversity of retail activity. Isn't that something that's just market-driven?
Yeah.
If the people come, then they'll build it sort of thing. And if they don't, then they won't.
Well, Castletown has specific issues. It's difficult. I understand for a lot of the public they've had a reaction to some of the regeneration. It's very controversial. It always is. The reactions I had to the SkyTrain in Bangkok were ferocious. I could give you some of the horrendous stories. But
in retail, and I'm sorry to cut across you.
That's what's coming back to. Sorry, apologise.
Isn't the problem footfall? So,
it is.
You know, if you wanted to have a PC World in Castletown, then the PC World people would just look at it and say, how many people in the immediate area? Yeah. How many would we get in our shop? Sorry, forget it. It's not going to happen.
What I was just talking about, that regeneration, the long-term image of it, you know, the long-term vision of it, the strategic, is that when you look at Castletown, we're hemorrhaging office tenants at the moment. It's been a real challenge, and you know, we've got some key areas. It's very important that we look at how we see the regeneration of the town. Certainly the square at the moment, I know we've had our challenges, and there's been a few, you know, embarrassing situations with people arguing. I think it's really important now for all the regeneration on the Isle of Man. As an architect, I do know, and I, in the long-term results, that it will have a huge impact on growth. I've seen it around the world. What we need to do, I think, is communicate a lot better what we've done. I mentioned about this communication issue with government. Certainly in Castletown at the moment, I don't know those people who've seen it. I talk to a lot of the visitors at the moment who come. They're all very, very positive. I've not had one objection.
It's a beautiful
place. They think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But the lighting at night's made it, has transformed it. And this is really the strategy, giving it a more urban feel. The local authority are talking about more open space, Parliament Square opening, letting people move out into the space. Once we've created, you know, Costa Coffee are opening in other areas. Once those that attraction's been, you know, understood and people are behind it, you really then begin to see a feedback onto the other.
How much as an MHK, though, can you realistically do in terms of regenerating places like Castletown? Because, you know, you as an MHK might say, well, we want to bring somebody like Tesco in. Then the commissioners say, oh, no, we're going to put all sorts of conditions on this and it's not going to happen. You know, again, back to politics
being we've had that before,
a bit Machiavellian, you know, do you think you've got the skills to be able to work your magic with people?
Look, I certainly understand that there have been challenges in Castle, and that's a perfect example. The way that unravelled is unfortunate. You know, the important thing as an MHK, and certainly for our constituency, and probably this is important to remind everybody, that the way the government have built these constituencies now, I mean, we have two MHKs, in a much better position to talk to government. I'll go back to my skills again about working with politicians and certainly working with the local authority. They will know that I am keen to work together. All the people who know me, you know that I'm very much a team player.
Do you think you can make much difference if you're elected?
Yes, I do. I do think that you can. A lot of it is about vision.
Yeah.
You know, if you can go on.
Yeah, but you can have all the vision in the world, can't you? You could be the brightest man in the House of Keys, but you've still got to take people along with you. So what would you do? Would you bring in private members' bills and things like that to try and get the conversation started?
To be fair, actually, about legislation, and I go across about scrutinising legislation, I think legislation's there where you really want to change the framework of something. I think to deal with retail and issues like this, you really have to put people together. As an architect, I've discussed a number of things. I mentioned little problems I thought there were with the regeneration to the square. I'm an RIBA, you know, a Royal Institute, so I would have thought people would listen, but they didn't. And so there's a little problem with vehicle access at the moment. So I think when you're an MHK and you carry those credentials, that's when you can really have an impact to people, and they listen to what you're going to say.
Okay.
And as long as you have that, Stu, with a vision, you know, I could look at the prom issues at the moment. There's lots of things in there that, you know, we can look at slightly differently. And you begin to see that there is a lot
but
more
again,
potential.
But again, the best vision in the universe, you know, some sort of a godlike vision, would be wasted if you can't carry people along with you, because you're just one voice out of 24, aren't you? Is the problem. It's just how much you think you can actually achieve. All right, let's move on, because you say that you want to protect core services.
Yeah.
That's just a no-brainer. I mean, every candidate wants to protect core services, of course. Sure. But, you know, are there any specifics there that made you want to say that?
Well, two areas really quickly to home in on. Obviously, I go back to my family background, GP and the hospice. Mm. You know, I have to say that caring is the whole part of my DNA.
So that's obviously important.
It is there, but I appreciate it's how we apply it. The health service and others are big issues, but I do have that, you know, a good insight knowledge into them. Other areas in government that I think are core services that are really important. I had the privilege of being involved in computer aided design very early, so that I've taken that technology theme right the way through my career. You know, I for example, I used voice recognition technology in 2008. We call it Siri. You know, that's what it is today.
Sure.
So I very preemptive on using technology, and that's the area I think in core services. We need to look at how we can be smarter.
All right, we're out of time, but you've got 10 seconds to tell the people of Arbury, Castletown and Maloo why they should vote for Stephen Crowther.
Thank you. I think the diversity in my career, my approachability as a person, my family background, and I can assure the constituents, and particularly those in Arbury who always get missed out, that I want to put everything together, you know, that we do have a future, and the major thing is that we can make ICT as big as the financial industry for our future.
All right, candidate for Arbury, Castletown and Maloo, Stephen Crowther, thanks for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.